Please turn to Psalm 49 in the Bibles. We will look at this entire psalm this morning. Psalm 49, and we'll begin by reading that. So the first thing you'll notice is for the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm, and I won't talk much about them, but it's very interesting. If you haven't done a little research on the sons of Korah, you should. It's not the focus of our time together this morning, but I would just encourage you to do that. So Psalm 49, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. Hear this, all you peoples, listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With a harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? And I want to pause and just tell you to look at the connection between verses 5 and 6. We'll come back to that momentarily. Very clear connection there. But let's go on, verse 7. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that wise men die. The foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep, they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. The upright will rule over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to Himself. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases. For he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. The while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper. He will join the generations of his fathers, who will never see the light of life. A man who has riches without understanding is like the beasts that perish. Well, the Christian is always at risk of being swept up in the world's wave of the pursuit of wealth. Every day, if you listen to the radio or read the newspaper or read the news online or TV or whatever, we're presented with easy ways of making large sums of money with very little effort, which the Bible warns against in itself. The Bible says, don't try to get rich quick. But we're presented with that all the time, whether it's by selling real estate, lots of shows on TV right now, buy this house, flip it, you can make all kinds of money. It's easy. Buying and trading stocks, pyramid schemes, promise of money, happiness, and no worries. It's all around us. The offers are tempting. I mean, who doesn't want money? And if it comes easy, that's tempting as well. Then the unbelievable happens and we begin to envy those who have this money. People who are rich, these people who are famous, and we look at them and say, wow, we just read in this psalm, don't be overawed by those people. But sometimes we are. We say, look at them. They're rich, they're famous, and we say, wow. It's a temptation for us. Because we're tempted to think that we have all that money, all these problems that I have, maybe they'll go away. It is a problem that God's people have dealt with throughout the ages. Be Because here we have a psalm written so many years ago dealing with the very same issue that God, of course, in His infinite wisdom, had written down for us to be preserved throughout the ages because He knew for His children this would be a struggle. Praise God for that. So we're going to look at this morning, that those who trust God to redeem their souls must never envy those who put trust in riches. There are many who put trust in riches, and the world is tempting us all the time to do the same. Put your trust in riches. So why should souls saved by the grace of God have no envy for those who have earthly security? Well, Psalm 49 tells us why. It tells us why their security is temporary at best and why the redeemed have nothing to envy. So let's take a look. As we start out in this psalm, Psalm 49, it is different, the very beginning of it. And there may be other psalms like this. None of them are coming to mind, but it starts out differently. It kind of reminds me of how the Proverbs start out, right? For a few chapters, when we look at Proverbs, it says, "Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. This is wisdom. What I'm about to tell you is wisdom." And it spends a lot of time at the beginning making this plea for people to listen, because here is wisdom. You need to hear what I'm getting ready to say in the Psalms. So let's take a look again. It says, "Hear this, all you peoples, listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding." Much like the Proverbs, how the Proverbs start out. And in verse 4 it says, "I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle." So here's a psalm that starts out a little differently than most, I think. A declaration of how important the contents of its words are going to be. And it's a call out to the whole world, a message that needs to be heard by everyone, every socioeconomic level. So the psalm promises to give words of wisdom and understanding on this topic that is a struggle even for the redeemed. And it continues to be a struggle. We would be wise to listen carefully as God's word again gives the answer to a real life struggle. And we should be convinced of this, that the scriptures are the answers to the problems that we have in life. Again and again and again, we can find the answers for life in God's Word. So those who trust God to redeem their souls, and I think that everybody in this room has probably made that proclamation that they trust God to save them from their sin, must never envy those who put their trust in riches. So first point here, wealth provides no meaningful power or satisfaction. Now the world will tell us, that is absolutely foolish and false. You need to be wealthy, and then you will have power, and you will be satisfied. But this psalm tells us differently. So verse 5 says, "Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches?" And when we were reading this before, I drew your attention to the connection here in verses 5 and 6. So it says, the psalmist says, "Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me?" And then he connects those wicked deceivers with verse 6. So who are those wicked deceivers? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. So the question, evil days and wicked deceivers are equated with those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. But notice carefully, the sin is not to have wealth. That's not a sin in and of itself. It is the trusting in that wealth and the boasting of the wealth. So I have for you here Job chapter 31, just an excerpt from that great book, starting with verse 23. It says, "For I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of His splendor I could not do such things. If I had put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, 'You are my security,' if I had rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands had gained," and we know that Job was one of the wealthiest men that we read about in Scripture. So verse 25 again, if I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands have gained. If I have regarded the sun in its radiance, or the moon moving in splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these also would be sins to be judged. For I would have been unfaithful to God on high. So I just put this in here just to bring home the point that Job, a very, very wealthy man, he's saying that, you know, it wasn't sin to be judged for me to be wealthy, but it would have been sin if I put my trust in that wealth. If I'd have done that, then that would have been a sin to be judged. And again, the sin is putting value on and trusting in wealth over God. And he says, I would have been unfaithful if I did that. And that's absolutely true. It truly is unfaithfulness, especially from those who have seen the faithfulness of God. So the psalmist wastes no time in pointing out the most significant reason that the wealthy hold no sway over him. And he asks the question in verse 5, why should I fear when evil days come? He says, and the answer to that question is, I won't fear when evil days come. When the wicked who got wealthy by their wickedness, they don't intimidate me at all. And he says, the reason for that is that there is no redemption of life in riches. And that's verse 7. He says, no man can redeem the life of another or give to him a ransom for him, give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. So in these verses, and we move to a different place later in the psalm, but in these verses he's talking about there's no money, as powerful as you think you are, wealthy, that's going to make you not see decay. He's going to talk about how, you know, when it comes to people dying and leaving this earth, we're just like the animals. At some point, we're going to die and we're going to decay. So he says, why do I need to fear? Or maybe even be in awe. He talks about being in awe of the wealthy in just a little while too. About these people that have all this money. Because there's nothing that they can do. Rich and poor alike, they will see decay. They will go to the grave just like everybody else. So I'm not in awe of them. I do not fear them. Because, as we again will see, God will deal with the rich and the poor. And some will be redeemed and some will not. So the rich were revered or feared at times because their wealth was often seen as reward for goodness in God's eyes. And sometimes they were therefore viewed as closer to God or more spiritual. And God can do what He pleases with because He owns everything. And if He chooses to use at times earthly treasures to reward His children for different things, then absolutely He can do that. But that is never our guide to say, this person must be living a righteous life because God has given them material wealth. And this person over here who is poor must not be. That is not consistent with Scripture at all. So the psalmist speaks of those who get their riches through means of dishonesty and violence and other means like them. And he refers to them as wicked deceivers. Because verse 5 says, wicked deceivers. Verse 6, those who trust their wealth and boast of their great riches. But then he goes on to say, even with those great riches, to die, just like the beast died. So even though they might appear to have power and fulfillment in this life, it holds little meaning in things that are truly important. They cannot redeem the life of any man, we just read in verses 7 and 8 and 9. Cannot keep them from seeing decay, no matter how rich they are. And as owner of everything, God is not impressed with their wealth. They would have no wealth at all if God did not give it to them or create it. While they may be able to buy what makes them happy temporarily in this life, or their wealth may give them power in this life, they are bankrupt when it comes to their greatest need. Because one day they are going to die. And and their bodies are going to see decay. The psalmist, as we read, says, wealth doesn't matter, but I know what is in store for me. So in verse 8, it says that the ransom for a life is costly, no payment is never enough. And again, this is speaking of any payment that man can make, even the richest person on earth. But praise God that there was a payment that was enough for life. Mark 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. So when we stop to consider what is valuable and what is false security, it is amazing that the struggle of envying the wicked wealthy exists. But it exists, it does. Our flesh desires instant satisfaction, and we equate wealth with a quick way to be satisfied. We have to be very, very careful of that. It creeps up, and it diverts our eyes to other things, and you might say, well, that's not really an issue for me. I don't have lots of money. Don't plan on having lots of money. But what did the psalmist say at the very beginning here? What did God record for us? Verse 2, both low and high, rich and poor alike. So does God know that low and high and rich and poor need to hear this? He absolutely does. So let none of us say, oh, this is not an issue for me. It certainly is, and it will divert us, and we're going to look at some other scriptures as well that warn us. If you see warnings throughout Scripture about something, you have to say, this is from my Heavenly Father. He knows me better than anybody else. He keeps repeating this. Boy, I better sit up and take notice. So we'll look at some more of that. Well, Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. How many people in this world, I mean, that seems to be the reason for existence, to make money and more money. And we know how that goes. If we've gone down that path, we get more money and it's just not enough, and then we want more. And then you look back at all the years in your life and you say, wow, I spent a lot of time trying to make a lot of money, and most of the time it gets spent. And those people are in debt, a lot of debt. The rich worry about how to keep their wealth and get more of it. Never satisfied. God tells us not to wear ourselves out to get rich. So those who trust God to redeem their souls must never envy those who trust their riches for security. The Bible calls them wicked. They trust in wealth. They boast of their great riches. So, number one, again, our first point is wealth provides no meaningful power or satisfaction. God has opened our eyes so that we can understand Scripture, and many people have not had their eyes open. So let's count ourselves blessed to open Scripture to be able to understand this, that we can understand the truth, that we do not need to run after wealth. Many people can't. Many people can't. But you and I know that there's no meaningful power or satisfaction there. We need money to live? Yes, we do. But more than anything, we need to trust the Lord that He will provide for us. Secondly, wealth does not cheat death. No matter, and we've already seen some of this, but we'll look at a lot more. No matter how much money that we have, and the psalmist points this out very clearly, there is something more important that you need to deal with as a human being on this earth. And that's what comes after this life. So let's look at verse 10 again. It says, for all can see that wise men die, the foolish and the senseless alike perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever. These are all connections made with a person dying, leaving this earth. Their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He's like the beasts that perish. So when it comes to living for a while on this earth and then you die, we're no different than animals. Animals die, people die. I'm not equating us with animals and anything like that, except for the fact that the truth here is that we will die just like animals die. Any drives that point home. And he has a lot to say about that. It also makes the clear point that riches and wealth have no power over. Verse 12 makes it clear as can be, despite his riches, he will eventually die just like an animal. But then we come to verse 13, where it says, "This is the fate of those who trust in themselves, and of their followers who approve of their sayings. So they are dead and will remain separated from God." There's really nothing to envy of those in this state, is there? It's what this psalm is about. To not look at the rich and say, "Wow, wish I could be rich like them." Because the most important issue that we have is redemption. Is true life. And the wealthy, the wicked, have no concept of what life truly is. They can only see what's in front of them. They can only see that if I get lots of money now, I can buy lots of things and that will make me happy. That's all they can see. They might wonder about what happens after they die. But if they're not chosen, they cannot see what is truly life. What is truly life, rather. So let's continue here. Verse 14, "Like sheep, they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. The upright will rule over them in the morning, but their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions." Far from their princely mansions. He just, over and over again, the sons of Korah, maybe there's multiple writing this particular psalm, continues to say. The princely mansion, of course, is a sign of their wealth, and maybe even their position and power. But when they die, they're far from that. They're separated. It did not matter what they had here on this earth. Let's continue. Well, let's stop there for just a moment. But in light of these verses, it gives us the perspective of those who place so much value on earthly riches. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20 say, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And Jesus could not have put it any clearer. For the Christian, for the follower of Christ, the Bible makes no bones about what our efforts need to be geared towards. And that is working and having the perspective of what is my effort and my time? What's the eternal perspective of this? Of course, there are temporary issues that we need to address. The Bible teaches us in other places. We need to work. We need to provide for our families and do all these things. But do not trust in your riches. Those who trust God to redeem their souls must never envy those who trust their riches or security. Let's go on to our third point. Very important. The redeemed do not fear death. At least we shouldn't. We shouldn't. So verse 15, here's a great transition. It says, "But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to Himself." So the psalmist here is not saying, "I will not die." He's talking about being redeemed from the grave. Certainly we're in the Old Testament here, but there was the idea of redemption. They had the truth of redemption, and like all, it had to do with faith. So verse 15 is the main contrasting verse in this psalm. So far, almost the entire psalm consists of the plight of the wealthy who, though they have gained much in this life, cannot do anything to save their soul. Their security is fleeting and empty and is contrasted with what God accomplishes for His own. So verse 15 starts with but. The great contrast is a word that often precedes God's work on behalf of the redeemed in Scripture. The psalmist doesn't deny that he too will face death, but he has the hope of redemption. Clearly not redemption that comes due to wealth and riches, but just the opposite. His redemption comes from the understanding that he has nothing to offer God, as he confessed in verses 7 through 9. No man can redeem. He includes himself in that. He does say, however, that there is not the fear of death that the rich have. There is only security in knowing God is his redeemer. So he says, he will surely take me to himself. Remember, this is after the grave. Redeem me from the grave. So the psalmist is speaking of the redemption of his soul. He's aware that he will not live forever on the earth and spent the greater part of this psalm saying so. Remember, the wise, the foolish, he had everything, the rich, the poor, everything was included in that, in himself. So he's talking about his soul. He is convinced of God's redeeming power and expects to experience it himself. So this answers the question of verse 5. Why should I fear? Why should I fear evil days and wicked men? And the answer, the understood answer to that is, I will not fear. So let's, before we read 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to go ahead with the rest of this psalm here in verse 16. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, the splendor of his house increases. Do you ever drive past a really nice house and say, wow, are you overawed by that? Sometimes you see a really nice car and say, wow, look at that Lamborghini. You don't see many of those, do you? So when you do see one, you take notice. The Bible says don't be overawed by that. Why? Verse 17. Those cars aren't going with anybody, and those houses aren't going with anybody. The only thing they're going to be free from is all their debt. Probably leave that to somebody else. Verse 17. For he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper, he will join the generations of his fathers who will never see the light of life. It's obviously a spiritual connotation there. Separation from God. The man who has riches without understanding is like the beast that perish. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I think that's a wonderful connection with what Jesus said, store up your treasures in heaven. Let nothing move you. Verse 58 again. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's storing up treasures in heaven. If the wealthy were wise, they would know that the redeemed, poor or wealthy, are the ones to be envied. Those who trust God to redeem their souls must never envy those who trust their riches for security. I want to finish up here with just looking at some large chunks of Scripture. I can't think of any better way to do so, to finish up. So let's take our Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, part of the rest of the passage we looked a little bit at. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We need to hear that. We need to hear that. And one of the reasons why I want to end up with a few scriptures here is just to remind us of what I said before. Over and over in Scripture, God has preserved in His Word for His children all these warnings about wealth and going after it. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. There's Proverbs 23, verse 4 again. Have it for you here. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Wonder what would happen if we wore ourselves out in the efforts to know God more instead of in our efforts to get rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. We'll read quite a bit here. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Let's stop there and think about that for just a moment. That is something to be aware of. And the thought, well, let me give so I can see what I'll get back from God. You have to be careful with that. What more do we need from God? Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So living godly and being content with what you have, that's the gain you're looking for. It's not the bank account. This is the gain the Scripture talks about. Living a righteous life and being content with what you have. That's great gain, the Bible says. Why should we be content? For we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Even I can open Scripture and understand how very clear that is. It's so very clear. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, the NIV says, and other translations say it differently, but once again, very clear words from God. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Can you have money, and maybe even lots of it? Job says you can. He said it wasn't the wealth, it is me trusting in that wealth. Here, Paul tells Timothy it's loving that. Love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Wow. If your heart and your mind, if you find yourself consumed by that and eagerly going after money, you need to take this warning. Pierced with many griefs. That sounds painful and hurt and bad. Some people here for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from all this. Flee from all this. He doesn't say, yeah, you can pursue it a little bit, but just be careful. He says, flee. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made a good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. We're not done, though. He continues on this theme of wealth and riches. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So here is it's a line in the sand, really. What kind of joy do you want on this earth? Do you want the joy that riches can bring you, earthly riches? Or do you want the joy that this scripture talks about? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. But before that, rather, command those who, verse 17, those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We have to decide what is better. The riches that God provides for us, or the riches that we think we can attain with wealth. The verse 18 is very good as well. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And here we go again, laying up treasures. Verse 19, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Life that is truly life has nothing to do with earthly riches. Those who trust God to redeem their souls must never envy those who trust the riches. Gracious God, we tell you thank you once again for warning us and calling us away from things that are harmful to us, that pierce us, cause us to wander, as these scriptures do this morning. You show us your love in so many ways, and this is one of them. So we tell you thank you in Christ's name.